It is good to see all of you here this morning. Those are our visitors and those who are members as well. Good to see Flossie and Herb back after Flossie had some tests, and we're glad that those went as well as they did. Good to see Jackie back, and good to have her with us today as well. In the 1820s, Gale Borden Jr. was a journalist in the territory of Texas. In fact, he was the man who coined the phrase, "Remember the Alamo." But he had a lifetime ambition to invent a way to condense food to keep it edible for a long period of time. And he often experimented on his dinner guest by serving them concentrated soups and foods. And during the California Gold Rush, he invented the dehydrated meat biscuit. But it was during a boat trip from England back to the States that a great idea resulted from a terrible tragedy. He witnessed the death of several children after they drank contaminated milk. And from that day forward, he dedicated his life to discovering a way to make milk safe for human consumption. Due to his previous experiments, Borden knew that food could be kept fresh over long periods of time by reducing the moisture in it. He put a gallon of milk in a kettle and boiled off the water. But the experiment failed. The milk had an unpleasant and burned taste. When he later visited a Shaker colony in New York, Borden found the solution to his problem. He watched them condense maple sugar in a vacuum-sealed pan. Using the vacuum-sealed pan, the burned taste was virtually eliminated since there was less heat that was needed for evaporation. Thereafter, Borden founded a multi-billion dollar milk industry. And these words are inscribed on his tombstone. "I tried and failed. I tried again and succeeded." Certainly that's a good motto, I think, for all of us as we're going to have failures in our lives, but we need to keep on trying. In Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31, these words are recorded for us. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me." You know, Simon was a great leader. He was often a tower of strength. It was Jesus who gave him the surname Peter, meaning a small rock or a pebble. But just like the rest of us, Peter had times of failure. You know, none of us like to fail. We don't desire to fail. And we know that our failures will disappoint us and others who are depending on us. But failures will inevitably occur. And I think that through those failures, that emphasizes our need for our infallible Savior. We can and we should learn from our failures. And they can be stepping stones that lead to success instead of stumbling blocks leading to devastation. We learned in this passage that Satan demanded to sift Simon like wheat. And it's interesting that in this text, when he speaks about you, the you there is plural. In other words, it is not only referring to Simon, but it's referring to all of the disciples. I'm sure that you know that sifting was a process that was used on the threshing floor where the wheat and the chaff were separated. Satan wanted to put Simon to the test. And this is reminiscent of the conversation that God had with Satan concerning Job. The Lord asked Satan in Job chapter 1 and verse 8, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" Satan even said that God was being unfair because he was providing a protective hedge around Job. Job chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I don't know about you, but it's reassuring to me to know that God provides his people with protective care, that he puts a hedge around us, that he cares for us. He protects us in a variety of ways. Although God himself does not tempt us, he does allow Satan to tempt us in order for our faith to be strengthened. We will overcome these temptations if we turn to God in faith and in prayer. But we will give in to these temptations if we depend on ourselves and look out for our own personal interest. Simon made a mistake by being overly confident in himself. Have you ever done that? He really believed that he was prepared. He was prepared to be imprisoned. He thought he was even prepared to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. And yet, less than 24 hours later, he denied even knowing Jesus. When we read through that, that's hard for us to understand, but I wonder if there are times in our own lives where we have made such serious mistakes, where we really believe that we were strong in the faith, and yet something came up to show us that we weren't nearly as strong as we thought we were. He also underestimated the powerful influence of Satan and overestimated his faith in Jesus Christ. You might recall his bold confession that he made in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But this bold confession that he had made earlier was completely overshadowed by his three bitter denials of Christ. And Jesus said that he even prayed for him. In actuality, he prayed for them, again, in the plural. I believe that's an extremely comforting thought, to know that Jesus prayed for Simon and Jesus prayed for all of the other disciples, and that Jesus is praying even for us today. Jesus is involved in our lives. But despite our Lord's prayer for the unfailing faith of his disciple Simon and all the other disciples as well, they failed to live up to our Lord's desire. We also learn in this text that Jesus' divine knowledge enabled him to know that Simon would fail. But he also knew that Simon would turn back to him, and that he would be a source of strength to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And you think of all of the great things that Simon Peter did as recorded in Scripture, how he was the spokesman on the day of Pentecost, how he did so many other things that were wonderful. He preached the gospel to Cornelius. How that all of these great things that he did. But Peter was humiliated with his weak faith. He wept bitterly, we're told. Have you ever been so upset with yourself that you just broke out in tears? You knew that other people were disappointed in you and that God was disappointed in you. He wept bitterly when he realized that Satan had won that particular battle with him. He had been arrogant. He had been self-assured. But after that occasion, he was embarrassed. He was ashamed. He was uncertain of himself. Ironically, it took that humiliating event to turn Simon into the clay that God, the potter, could form to his good pleasure. And sometimes it's the mistakes that we make that draws us closer to God, makes us more dependent on him, and allows God to form us into the person that he wants us to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul wrote, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Don't have too much pride. Don't believe so much in yourself, but continue to rely on the power of God. I could have shared a number of stories with you, probably things that were embarrassing to me. I chose to pick one of the lighter ones, as you probably would with me too. I remember one day I was visiting Baylor Hospital in Dallas. And I did something I just couldn't believe. I walked right into a glass panel, thinking that it was an open door. And I was absolutely positive that it was a clear opening. But that door proved me wrong. And of course, one of my associates was with me, and he was no help at all. He just died laughing, and he walked away as if he were saying, "I don't know that crazy blind man." I could tell you a lot more mistakes that I've made. Things that I wish that I could recall. and you could tell me some too. But you will undoubtedly make some bad decisions in this life. You will at times fail to live up to the expectations of others and of yourself. And you will occasionally embarrass yourself, even as I did on that day. But this is where the love and the grace of God are powerfully demonstrated to us. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The real mistake is pride. People saying, I don't have sin. The real person who understands that he's a sinner and she's a sinner and admits that he or she is a sinner is the person that God will continually cleanse through the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you grateful that we don't have to look back on all these terrible times that we wish that we could forget, because we know that God has forgiven us of those sins? Don't allow temporary failures and damaged pride turn you away from our loving and forgiving God. A number of years ago, in a Time magazine article entitled What It Takes to Reach the Summit, John Scowl wrote about Stacy Allison and Peggy Luce, the first U.S. women to climb Mount Everest, 29,108 feet. I cannot imagine. Many people have attempted this feat and have failed. Many have even lost their lives. Stacy Allison had tried the previous year and she had failed. And John Scowl asked them whether the experience had taken either one of them into unexplored places in their character. And Stacy Allison surprisingly answered, no, she said. Getting to the summit didn't. Winning is easy. But not getting there the year before did. I like Gail Borden Jr.'s tombstone epitaph. I tried and failed. I tried again and succeeded. But maybe as Christians, ours should read, I tried and failed because of myself. I tried again and succeeded because of Christ. Again, in the words of Jesus, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Our Lord knows that we're going to make mistakes. And aren't you thankful that through Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness of those mistakes? We can live with our Lord knowing that we're right with him because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If there is anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we hope that you will take this opportunity to do that while we stand and sing.